Okay, Cornerstone 9:30. It's good to see all of you. Glad some of you are back from the summer. Some of you are here for the first time. No matter how it is that you got here, we're glad that you're here this morning. Here's something we say periodically. We say this, I don't know, not every week, but pretty frequently. If you've been here before, you've heard this. If you're here for the first time or the first time in a while, you need to know this. One of the things that we love about our church is that every week, people walk in here having had different experiences throughout life and throughout the last week. Here's what I mean. Some of you are in here and you are comfortable in church. You come to church frequently and it feels good to be around church people. And some of you are here and it's your first time or it's your first time in a while and it feels a little weird to be in church and around church people, and that's okay. Some of you are here and life is going well, and some of you are here and life is not going well. Some of you are here and your life is built around the Christian faith. Some of you are asking questions about it, and this is a good place to ask questions. And some of you are here and you may be openly skeptical or even antagonistic towards the faith, and that's okay too. Here's what you need to know. No matter where you are on those spectrums or any other spectrums, this is the church. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you are welcomed here, and we are really, really glad that you're here this morning. Okay, to get us started this morning, I need us to be pretty honest about something, okay? We need to be honest about one particular thing. For all of us, there are areas of our lives where there is a gap between where we are and where we want to be. There's a gap between where we are and where we would like to be. There's a gap between where my body is and where I would like my body to be. There's a gap between where my career is and where I would like my career to be. There's a gap between where my relationship is in the basement and where I would like for my relationship to be up on the rooftop. And the deal is, sometimes we know exactly how to fill these gaps. And sometimes we have the gap because we just don't know how to fill it. But come on, oftentimes we know how to get from where we are to where we want to be. But oftentimes, even though we know how to get there, we still don't seem to have the ability to do it. Like, one of my favorite passages is from Romans. It's from this pastor. He's one of the first Christian pastors. He's writing a letter to one of the churches that he started, and this is what he said. He said, here's the deal. I don't understand myself. I seem to repeatedly do the things that I don't want to do, and I have a hard time because I not only do what I don't want to do, but I don't do the very things that I want to do. And what Paul saw in himself, I see in myself, and my guess is that in some ways you see this in yourself also. So this series that we're starting called Habits, it's simply about this. How do we fill the gap between where we are and where we want to be? And you may be asking, why in the world are we talking about that in a church? Well, for a couple of reasons. One is because Jesus said, here's the deal. I've come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. I want you to have the best life that you can possibly have. And in the church, we're the church, we want the same thing for each other. We want us to fill those gaps because we want us to have the best life possible in lots of areas. But here's another reason. One of the gaps that all of us have, all of us, is that all of us have a gap between where we are and being men and women who are fully submitted to God, who have our lives built around loving God and loving other people. Every one of us in this room, we have a gap between where we are and where, even if it's just deep down, where there's something inside of you that just tells you that where you need to be is at a place where you're just fully loving God and fully loving other people. So next week, we're going to talk about how to stop habits that pull us away from God. And the next week, we're going to talk about how to start good habits. But this week, I want to talk about an assumption that's underneath all of this. I then want to give you just a practical principle. And then we're going to have an activity that we're going to start together that we're going to carry on for the next 3 weeks. So to set us up before all of those things, let's take a moment and pray together. God, we love you, and we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. Lord, we pray that you move during this time. Lord, just as you have been with us during the singing and during the prayer, Lord, I pray that you'll now be with us as we take a few minutes to talk about some scripture and to talk about how it is that we can move from where we are to where we want to be. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they'll be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so here is what I would like for you to do today. I'm just going to come right out with it. I would like for you to think of 2 to 3 things that you would like to see happen in the rest of 2019. Okay, can you do that with me? 2 to 3 things that you would like to see happen in the rest of 2019. Now, you need to know this is a you activity, okay? This is not 2 to 3 things that you would like to see happen in your boss's life in the rest of 2019. This is 2 to 3 things that you would like to see happen in your life in 2019. I heard somebody say a long time ago, you can't change your spouse. You can only change your spouse's spouse, okay? That goes for friendships, it goes for coworkers, all those things. Resist the temptation to elbow anybody physically or at least even in your mind, okay? 2 to 3 things you'd like to see happen by the end of 2019. Here's a way to think about it. There are probably lots of things that you would like to see happen, but if these 2 or 3 things were to happen, then you can count the rest of 2019 as a win. 2 to 3 things that if they happen, the rest of 2019 would have been successful. I want you to think about 2 or 3 of those things. And here's what we're going to do. You can either do this now or you can go home and do this. It's super simple. You don't even need to write it down. But if it's helpful to do it now, that's great. If not, wait till you get home. I want you to take a piece of paper and make 3 columns, okay? Just 3 columns. And what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to build all 3 of these columns. This week, week number 1, center column. Sometime today, latest tomorrow morning, because after you get past that, you're probably not going to do it. This afternoon, tomorrow morning, take a piece of paper, 3 columns in the middle, 2 to 3 things that you would like to see happen in the rest of 2019. Okay. Here is the assumption that's underneath this whole series. The assumption that is underneath this whole series is that we underestimate the power that small changes can make in our lives. That we see the big things and we want the big things, but that we underestimate the power of the small thing to make a big difference. Okay, here is an example. We're going to give you some kind of fun examples over the next few weeks, including one. We're going to talk about the dominoes that you saw earlier in the video. But the example this week has to do with the Bible. Not the words that are written on the pages of the Bible, but the pages themselves. So this little page right here is about 1/100th of a millimeter in thickness. If I were to fold this, any math majors? How thick would it be? 2/100ths of a millimeter thick, okay? If we were to fold it one more time, that's twofold. It's how thick? 4/100ths. And then if you do another one, it's 8/100ths. If you fold it 10 times, which you can't do, but if you were able to, fold it over on itself 10 times, it would be a centimeter thick. Not very thick. But then it kind of takes off after that. So if you were to fold it 11 times, it would then be what? 2 centimeters thick. And if you were to fold it 12 times, it would be 4 centimeters thick. 13 times, 8 centimeters. 14 times, 16 centimeters. 15 times, 32 centimeters. 16 times, 64 centimeters. And at 17 times, you folded this just 17 times, you're at 128 centimeters, which is the height of a small child. Okay. You fold it 17 times, and you're at about 4 feet. 18 times, you're at 8 feet. 19 times, you're at 16 feet. 20 times, you're at 32 feet, and on after that. If you folded this piece of paper 25 times, do you know how high it would be? Almost the height of the Empire State Building, 25 times. You fold it 30 times and you know what you're doing? You're hitting airplanes. You fold it 40 times and you're hitting satellites. You fold this little piece of paper 45 times and you're to the moon. And then you fold it one more time, 46, and what are you? You're to the moon and back, okay? On your 47th fold, you're over 1 million miles. And it all starts with one little fold. Amy and I were talking about my sermon this weekend, and I told her about this example, and she looked at me and she said, "Do not use that example." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it's obviously not true. It's obviously not how it works. But look, I did the math, okay? I got out my TI-82, and I did the math, and I figured this out, okay? It's actually true. But if that example doesn't work for you, well, this is just an observable fact in lots of different ways. Think about someone who's famously good at something. Famously good at something. Simone Biles is famously good at what? She's maybe the best gymnast that we have ever seen. And last week, she was already perhaps the best. And then last week, she did two things with her body that nobody has ever done in their life. First, coming off a balance beam, she did a double twist, double somersault. And then, not to be outdone by herself on her floor routine, she did a triple twist, double somersault. Now, look, I have no idea what those things even mean, much less do I know how she developed the ability to do that. But here's what I know. She didn't just go out on a Tuesday and decide to do that. She's already one of the greatest gymnasts that has ever lived. And it took her a million little things, doing them a million times, to be able to do that. It started with one little fold. Think about Albert Einstein, famously intelligent. Our son Boyd in the second grade came home the other day asking about Albert Einstein. I don't understand most of what he talks about, nor will I ever. But you know what I'd like to know? I would love to know the first book that Albert Einstein read on his own. The first book that he checked out of the library. Not that his parents read to him or that he was forced to read in school, but the journey that he started that led him to being who he was, I want to know what's the first book that he read. What's the first fold? Hey, look, you know this from your personal lives. I met somebody just a couple weeks ago who recently ran a marathon in Antarctica, okay? She didn't start running in Antarctica. She started running in her neighborhood. And she didn't start running 26.2 miles, but she started running or walking just a mile or two. Maybe you can't relate with that example. You have no desire to go from the couch to a 5K, to a 10K, to a half, to a full. You want to stay on the couch, and you want to get from season one, episode one of Downton Abbey all the way to the end before the movie comes out, okay? Right. Whatever your cup of tea is, you understand how this works. You can't go from season one, episode one, all the way to the end in a day. You can't go from the couch to the marathon in Antarctica in a day. It starts with one fold, and then you keep folding consistently. We know this, but think about the power of this. Marathon starts with the first run. Losing the weight starts with the first day that you count the calories. Healing the marriage starts with the first appointment to see the counselor. Paying off the debt starts with the first month that you cut your spending to pay even more on the loans. The addiction begins to lose hold on you with the first meeting that you go to. If we just had a bottom line this, it would be this simple. Look, 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 just hold on to this. What gives us the ability to do something big eventually, what gives us the ability to do something big one day, is the discipline to do something small consistently. We all want to do big things. We all want to move from where we are to where we want to be. What gives us the ability to do that, what gives us the ability to fill that gap, is not doing one big thing one time. It's doing something small, routinely, consistently. It's about developing habits. We attend the meetings, and the addiction begins to lose its hold on us. We cut our spending month after month to pay towards the debt, and we find the freedom of being debt-free. We go to those counseling sessions over and over again, whether we want to or not, and we find healing. We run every day, till we can run the marathon in Antarctica. We count our calories every day so that one day we can what? We can post the after picture on Instagram. Right? It's the little things that lead to the big things. And look, here's the thing. I hope that you can identify lots of goals in your life and lots of areas where you want to move from here to there. But I also hope that one of those things where you want to move from here to there is something to do with your relationship with God and with others. Again, the end of the Christian life is not to be someone who prays all the time or comes to church all the time. That's not the end of the Christian life. The end of the Christian life is to be a man or a woman who can fully love God and fully love others. To have the freedom to be freed from our selfishness, to be freed from our sin, to be freed from all those things that are holding us back. That's the dream. That's the goal. That's the hope. That's what God wants for you. That's what deep down I think you want for yourself, is to be someone who fully loves God and fully loves others. I hope that for you in 2019, at least a part of what you would like to see is for yourself to move from wherever you are closer to that, to be more loving of others, to have your life to be more fully reliant on God. You see, I know where I am, and where I want to be is where people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Catherine Drexel, who we talked about last week, where they were in their lives. Where I want to be is I want to move from where I am to be where my paternal grandfather, who's just a saint, that's where I want to be. I want to move from here to here, and I think that you do too. Some of you know that intuitively. I think all of us sense that. That's where we want to go. Even more than any of the other stuff, that's where we want to go. That's our heart's desire. There are a lot of characters in the Bible that I do not want to be like. If you think everybody in the Bible is a hero, you need to reread the Bible, okay? But one of the characters that I would love to be like one day is a guy named Daniel. Daniel is famously faithful. Daniel is famous for a variety of things, but one thing in particular. Daniel, near the end of his story, he stares down a lion. Daniel in the lion's den. He's thrown into a den of lions, and he stares down the lion, and he survives. How do you become a guy like that? How do you become a woman like that? He didn't stare down the lion like Teddy Roosevelt style with a gun strapped to his belt, okay? He didn't stare it down like Steve Irwin style with this incredible knowledge of how animals work. No, 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 no. He just stared it down with his faith, trusting that either God would deliver him or if he didn't, it would still be okay. He stared down a lion with that kind of faith. How do you become a guy like that? We know the end of Daniel's story. He's delivered from the lion's den. Do you know how he got in the lion's den? And do you know what he was doing beforehand? It's a short story. This is a great story. Okay, look, this story itself is worth what you paid to get in here, okay? This is a great story, okay? It pleased Darius, he's the king, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, these are rulers, stationed throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents. There are 120 satraps, and then there are three presidents, all of whom fall on the org chart right underneath the king. One of those presidents is Daniel. To these, the satraps gave account so that the king might suffer no loss. Now, surprising that Daniel even ends up in this, because Daniel is a Jew. He's someone who was captured from Jerusalem and brought over to Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. King Darius has now defeated King Nebuchadnezzar and is now the king. Daniel is a foreigner. He shouldn't be in this position, but he finds himself in one of the three most important positions in the kingdom, right underneath Darius himself. Soon, Daniel distinguished himself above all the other presidents, okay? Of the best of the best, he is the best of the best of the best. And the satraps, because of an excellent spirit that was in him. It's mysterious to other people why he has this spirit within him, but Daniel, of course, would have known that this is because God is with him. And the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. Okay, now, you see what's happening here, right? Okay. The presidents and the satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel. They're not happy about this. They tried to find grounds of complaint in connection with the kingdom, that hopefully he had done something scandalous. There was something to burn him down. There's something in his file way back. They try to find something to get him in trouble. But they could find no grounds for complaint or any corruption. They couldn't find anything. Wouldn't we love a candidate like that? That would be incredible. Okay. They couldn't find any corruption because, well, he was faithful. And no negligence or corruption could be found in him. Look, I wasn't planning on saying what I said about a candidate like that. That is not a political statement. Sometimes stuff just comes out of your mouth and you have a microphone strapped to your face. Okay, look. It's not about any particular candidate. It's just a candidate in general. Wouldn't it be unbelievable if we had a candidate from any party that had nothing in their file? That's what that's about. Save the emails. Okay. All right. All right. You try this sometime. Okay. All right. The men said, We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel. We're not going to find any, there's nothing that we're going to find against this guy unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Okay. The only way that we're going to get this guy is if somehow his faith, we can turn it against him. Okay, pay attention to that. It's the only way that we're going to be able to get him. So the presidents and the satraps, they conspired and came to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. This is their plan. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, they agreed that the king should, this is what the king should do, that you should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever prays to anyone, divine or human, for 30 days except to you, O king, that person shall be thrown into a den of lions. King, this is what we think you should do. We think that you should make it a law that for 30 days, if anybody prays to anybody else, den of lions. Now, O king, establish this interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the interdict. He signed this. If you pray to anybody else, lions for you. Okay. Although Daniel knew, okay, Daniel doesn't stumble into this by accident. Daniel knew that this had been signed. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in the upper room that opened towards Jerusalem, and he continued to get down on his knees three times a day to pray, right in front of the window, to pray to his God and to praise him. Why? This is what he's always done. Just as he had done previously. Watch this. What convicts Daniel? What gets him in trouble? What gets him in the den of lions? What convicts Daniel is that he got down on his knees three times a day to pray. That's what got him convicted. But getting down on his knees three times a day to pray is also what saved him. It's what got him into the den of lions, and it's what got him out of the den of lions. How? Because look at this. What gives us the ability to do something big eventually is the discipline to do something small consistently, continually, regularly. But of course, you can replace this with more specific stuff. Look at this. What gave Daniel the ability to stare down a lion was the discipline to pray three times a day. He didn't just wake up on a Tuesday with that ability. He didn't just do one big thing one time. It's the consistent prayer. The same thing that got him in trouble is the same thing that saved him. It was the discipline, year after year, day after day, hour after hour, three times a day on his knees praying. So let me just ask you, friends, to kick off this series. What will give me the ability to what? What's your goal here? Is the discipline to what? What's that gap? What do you want to see happen with the rest of 2019? What do you want to see happen? And what is the daily discipline that will get you there? What will give me the ability to meet this goal is the discipline to keep this habit. What's the goal? But then right after, what's the goal? What are the habits that are going to get you there? Okay. So here's what we're going to build together. Here are your goals, 2 to 3. The far side, next week, I'm going to encourage you to identify 4 or 5 habits that drive your life in a positive direction. 4 or 5 things that you know, when I consistently do these small things, it helps me to achieve these goals, but honestly, it really helps me in other areas of my life. Okay, that's 2 weeks from now. Next week, okay, what are 4 to 5 habits that drive you in the wrong direction? For me, I know on the far right, getting up early. I just know it. When I'm up early, it drives everything in the right direction. If I'm up before the kids in particular, I have won the day, right? I got it getting up early. Over here, I know that when I am bored and I hit the Instagram app, that is a habit that is rewiring my brain to be less in control of my desires as far as delayed gratification, and inhibits my ability to be able to rest and to think deeply. I just know that. It doesn't mean that Instagram in itself is bad, but I know that the habit of hitting it when I'm walking down the hallway is not good for my brain, okay? So next week, we're gonna talk about some of these, and most importantly, how to kick these, okay? If you got a habit you're trying to kick, next week's gonna help you with that. And then in 2 weeks, we're gonna talk about some of the best habits that we can establish, and how it is that we can be people who start habits and to help make them stick. You know what this is? This is just a little dashboard for you. A little dashboard that you can glance at to remind you what's most important, what habits you want to foster, and what habits you want to kick. You know, we've all got these gaps between where we are and where we'd like to be. And I said right off the top, this pastor Paul, he's brilliant, all right? It's in Romans 7 if you want to check it out. He says, look, I don't understand. I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. It's hard to fill the gap, friends. But every day, people figure out how to do that. Every day, people like me and you figure out how to fill those gaps. And for anybody who's filling those gaps, they're consistently doing small things. But for many of us, what we've discovered, this was true for Paul, it's true for Daniel, it's true for many of you, is that those small things are rooted in one really big thing. That the wisdom to know what habits to develop, that it comes when you're spending time in prayer. That the strength and the fortitude to be able to maintain those habits, that strength comes from time in the scripture. That it comes from the accountability that comes from being with other people. You see, this whole idea of moving from here to here in our Christian life is not just about that. It actually affects everything else in our lives also. When I became a committed Christian, some things had to drop out of my life and some things had to come into my life. And it was hard to drop some of those things and it was hard to build up some of those other things. But the Christian life affects not just what we do on Sundays and what we do with our first 15 minutes, but when we do it right, it affects everything. These habits of being in church and praying and reading the scripture. The Christian life is not about those things. But you know what those things do? Those things point beyond themselves. And for whatever reason, when humans do those things, it tends to connect human hearts with God. And when human hearts get connected with God through prayer and scripture and all of those other things, human hearts change. They're reformed. They're reformed. Human hearts are drawn towards love of God and love for other people. If your goal, one of them, is to draw closer to God and to more fully love others, it's those little habitual practices that will help point your heart away from you and away from any shame that you have and away from any worry that you have and point your heart towards the God that loves you. It's not about these things. But if we want to achieve that big thing eventually, it's the little things daily. So we're going to talk in 2 weeks about a lot of habits that I think would be good for us, but here's just one habit for this week. The homework and this one habit. I think there is no more important habit, forget it being about faith, just in life in general. I think there is no more important habit than attending church regularly. Just talk super practically. You know what attending church regularly does? It connects you with other people. It hopefully gives you some kind of inspiration. It gives you easy ways to serve others. But there's also something that happens on a spiritual level that we don't fully understand. But attending church regularly, it tends to point people's hearts towards God, and it tends to reform people's hearts. Coming to church regularly is not right because of some arbitrary moral code. Attending church regularly is right because it's just right, because it's just good, because it just changes us, because it just seems to make us better, and then by extension makes other people who are around us better also. There's no more important habit that you can establish than attending church regularly. I say this a lot, but if you're not sick and you're in town, I think that you should be in church on Sunday mornings. It just does something inside of us. So if you got nothing else out of the sermon, and I hope that you did, if you got nothing else out of this, then just simply get this. I'll see you next Sunday. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. God, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us as we walk out of this place, Lord, and we seek to do the small things so that eventually we can do the big things. And Lord, here's what we want. I'll just claim this for all of us. We want you to do big things in our hearts. We want you to do big things in our minds. We want you to do big things in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in our friend groups, in our city, in our country, in our world. We want you to do big things. So God, won't you help us to be men and women who faithfully and consistently do the small things. And trust that you're going to do something with that. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.